the Maryland News Network. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state. Now, here's Glenn Clark.
Welcome into High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, right here on the Maryland News Network. Glenn Clark, joined as always by my friend Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com. Wick, everything good, pal? Good to see you once again.
Yeah, everything is good. Did you enjoy the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Of course. Ate too much. That's the way that it is. I am more fried chicken than I am man at this point. And dip. Fried chicken and dip.
Jeez, that's unfortunate.
Than man at this point.
For both you and the chicken.
Well, I mean, I don't think the chicken had much of a say in it, but the moral of the story is you gotta ease up. Like, little buffalo chicken dip is delicious. When you go on buffalo chicken dip and crab dip and spinach and artichoke dip and seven layer
still
dip.
Standing.
I have not figured that out. We got a lot to do on this week's show. We got some great guests who'll be joining us a little bit later on in the program. In fact, a really cool story that I knew nothing about. Wick, girls wrestling tournaments are a thing.
At the state level, state championships.
I thought the girls just wrestled the boys.
No,
I thought that was sort of the deal.
First year event, and we're going to have Chris Dyke on in a little bit. He's the head coach at Northeast High School, and he's also was a co-director for this tournament, which was an MPSSAA event. He did it with the Severna Park head coach, Chad Vosberg. So we're going to talk to him all about that event. I can't wait.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, it's something that I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. And then one of the big rivalry games in all of Maryland high school sports.
Well, it's the game.
Well, that's true. They do call
according
it
to them,
the
it is
game.
The game.
That's right. Is the girls basketball battle that happens every year between IND and Mercy.
Yes.
They call it the game. Mm-hmm. And it just happened.
Yes, this past weekend. Yeah, and IND came out on top in it. But we're going to be talking with Robert Dubose, who's been there at IND now for 4 years now, and actually he's never lost the game.
Wow.
So he's 4-0 in it. So you got to think that he'll have some good insight into what makes it such a great rivalry and what made this year's matchup so special.
And don't confuse IND with NDP because take that very seriously. I say that as a man who's married to an NDP alum.
Ooh,
it gets very awkward.
Better watch yourself.
All right, let's go over some of the big games. Otherwise, that happened this week besides IND Mercy. Let's talk about a few of them. And let's start on the boys' side. This is sort of a follow-up to a story that we had discussed a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A really cool event that happened at Oakland Mills.
Yeah, the Larry Aaron benefit game finally happened. It happened this past Friday. Oakland Mills was able to win the actual contest 68-55 over Hammond. It was just a really emotional night, and I was able to see video of it online, a bunch of stuff on Twitter, social media, things like that. It just seemed like a really cool event. For those who don't know the story about Larry Aaron, he's a former Scorpion student athlete who was paralyzed after being hit by a stray bullet on New Year's Eve while attending a party in Severn, Maryland. And the Oakland Mills Booster Club heard about this and said, we got to do something. And in conjunction with the athletic department, they sold 93 strong T-shirts. It's the same number that Aaron wore when he was as a member of the Marshall football team where he recently finished his freshman year. And they're these just great shirts. If you haven't seen them online, they're bright green. They've got him on them. It's just a really cool looking shirt. And, it was a sold out crowd at Oakland Mills, and a lot of the people were wearing the shirts. Very cool. All the proceeds for that and concessions go towards Larry Aaron, who obviously is going to need a lot of help with medical bills, things like that, as he goes through this difficult time. And honestly, what's really cool about it is that he was not expected to attend, but he was able to make it out for the event. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And, they surprised everybody right before the starting lineups were announced. They dimmed the lights and then they put on all of the lights, the song, and just blared it over the loudspeakers, and out he came, and it surprised nearly everybody, and it really elevated the atmosphere. And what's also cool about it is that it was a county-wide event.
Yeah,
itself.
I saw that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, these shirts were worn at Reservoir Howard for the girls' game, which we're going to discuss in a few moments. They wore the shirts as warm-ups. Glen Elg and Merritt's Ridge on both boys and girls wore it, and even Oakland Mills, they Ward versus Long Reach when they played on Wednesday, because Long Reach didn't have a game on Friday and they wanted to make sure to support the cause. So all around great stuff. And in the actual game itself, Roger Burgess had a big game for Oakland Mills, 25 points, a career high for him. He hit 6 3-pointers.
Wow.
And the Scorpions have now won 7 of their last 8 county matchups. So, you know, this is a team under head coach John Brown that I think is going to be one to watch in the postseason.
All right, let's run through some of these girls' games as well. You mentioned it, Howard and Reservoir.
Yeah, Howard and Reservoir. This is sort of when we talked about it last week, it was Howard who's sort of the perennial powerhouse in Howard County. Reservoir is sort of the team on the rise that is, after starting really slowly, had won 7 straight games. This was a Howard contest. You know, it was all about the Lions. They were able to win 65-23, and they jumped out to a big lead, 38-13, halftime lead. And the goal of the contest from Howard's perspective was to throw off Reservoir's bigs and to speed the game up, use energetic defense, and the strategy worked tremendously. And what helped was they got a really great effort from Courtney Furr, who led the way with 16 points, all of which came in the first 9 minutes of the game.
Wow.
So she just was just shooting the lights out right away, helped bury them. She hit 4 3-pointers. Taylor Addison, their top player, did well as well. 12 points, 11 rebounds. All 17 of Howard's wins this season have now come by at least 13 points. The one loss that they have is to a very talented Long Reach team. For me, Howard is just, there's nothing new here. They're always a talented team. And once again, it looks like a team that you're going to want to keep an eye on in the postseason.
All right, let's move to Anne Arundel County. Chesapeake got a big win over Old Mill.
Yeah, and this is actually a huge win because the win snapped the Patriots' 58-game regular season county winning streak. That dates all the way back to the 2013-2014 season. Yeah, so a huge result for Chesapeake. And it was also big for another occasion. Brooke Worrell eclipsed the 1,500-point mark in her career with 26 points and 13 rebounds. I'm covering high school sports long enough. I did a Q&A with her for PressBox as a freshman.
That's cool.
And now she's a senior and doing it. I love seeing
very
that
cool.
It's working out. And Haley Downen also had a big game, 11 points and 8 rebounds. And then Summer Smith as well, 8 points, 7 rebounds. Chesapeake, a huge win. And I would say a little bit of an upset there over Old Mill.
All right. And then one more. How about Charles County? North Point knocked off St. Charles.
Yeah, 54-39 in favor of North Point. St. Charles actually had the lead in this game. They had a 20-10 lead in the second quarter. Really good start. And they were feeling good. But then North Point really turned it on. They went on a 27-6 run to gain an 11-point lead, and it was pretty even the rest of the way, but North Point was able to protect their own home turf and hold off St. Charles. Just once again, a really good, well-played contest, and both teams, I think, are going to be making some noise in the postseason.
All right, very good. When we come back in, we're going to talk about some big news in high school football this week. A new head coach at Gilman.
You can never get away from football.
Right, that's the way it goes. That's next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, right here on the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here for segment number 2 of High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. All right, Wick, well, yeah, this show, we just can never get away from football. That's the way that it goes, and particularly when you have a powerful program, a
yes.
huge program like Gilman in Baltimore, hiring a new head coach, and that's exactly what they did this week. Tell us about who it is that's taking over for the Greyhounds.
Yeah, they hired Nick Bach, and if you haven't heard of him or the name, it's not surprising. He's not a local candidate.
Yeah.
He's from Georgia. He's going to be taking over from the Mountain View High School in Georgia, which I believe is northwest of Atlanta. This was released by Gilman officials a little bit earlier last week, but he takes over for Tim Holley, you know, who's the longtime athletic director there. He's coached a bunch of different sports, and when Biff Poggi left the program, which was sort of just a massive void there to try to fill, Holley was the one who stepped in and said that he would be the one to take over it for a couple years. And you know, he ended up having, I know the first year it was a little bit of an adjustment period. They didn't have as many wins as they would like, but the second year they were really able to turn it on towards the end of it, and they actually, despite finishing with a 5-7 record, they were able to reach the MIAA conference championship. They were really able to turn it on late. The key to that was they were able to beat McDonough 24-21, which anyone who knows anything about Gilman football knows
yeah,
that is always
a big
the
one.
game of the year. They were able to win that late, which was able to force a five-way tie for second place. It was actually just a crazy year in the A conference for football. And through a series of tiebreakers, they were actually able to end up the second seed, and they were able to knock off Calvert Hall in the playoffs. So that was just a great end.
And
of
if
the
I
year.
Remember right, they played. It was spirited what they did in the championship game. Like it ended up being
lopsided a little bit. I think it was a 44-7 final, but it was competitive.
Right. Like I know that sounds weird for us to say it that way because you're like, really? But St. Francis is a powerhouse.
Yeah. You look at what St. Francis was able to do this year. They went out and we talked about it ad nauseum on this show. You know, obviously going out, they were able to go undefeated. They went out. They won a bowl game, I believe, out in Arizona, wasn't it? Around
that's
Christmas
right.
time,
that's
they
right.
beat a team from Utah. They have kids who are committing to, you know, Alabama and all these massive programs around the country for college. So I think Gilman, you know, second year under Tim Holley, I think they would view that as a massive success, especially with how the year started as well. It was such a great end. But tell you a little bit more about Bach, he was an assistant football coach at Johns Hopkins, so that probably played into his decision wanting to come
back
up.
Has some familiarity with the area, right?
Familiarity with the area, and I'm sure Gilman liked that as well. He's also a history teacher, so he's going to be joining Gilman as a history teacher. He's going to be joining their faculty, so he'll be teaching there full-time, and he'll be starting at Gilman in the summer. He was also a player himself. He went to SUNY Buffalo, and he was a defensive end on their team. But at Mountain View—
Is SUNY Buffalo just Buffalo, or is that a different school?
You know what? You're quizzing me on the spot. I'm not entirely sure. I think it's SUNY Buffalo is separate than Buffalo.
Hang on.
Would be my prediction.
Well, now I have no idea. I have no idea. I believe it's the same place. Huh. There's State University of New York at Buffalo is Buffalo.
Oh,
which is a D1 school.
Yeah.
They're in the MAC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. So, I didn't mean to derail you.
No, you're good.
I know nobody really cares about that except for me.
They put it as SUNY Buffalo in the press release.
That's the technical name of the school. I get it.
But anyway, at Mountain View, he was able to turn the program, which had previously never really been a thriving program, into an upstart, talented one. He'd been there since 2013. And he served as the head coach the past 3 years, and they were able to reach the state playoffs for the first time in 2016, playing at the Class 7A level. We don't go that high here.
Yeah, not nearly as many levels necessary, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they got their first statewide ranking in 2016 as well. And last fall, they finished 9-2, the Bears from Mountain View, and they were able to make it to the second round of the playoffs. So this is, you know, it's just a big deal. Who is the Gilman football coach?
Right.
It's one of those jobs in the area, and they were able to fill it. For me, I think Holley did a great job as sort of a stopgap, I think, and getting a finals appearance as well in the conference championship. I think they would have happily taken that, you know, from Tim Holley. So they're going to be handing off the reins here to Bach, who's going to be, it looks like he's going full in on Gilman, you'd have to think. You know, he's going to be teaching there, too.
So the only question here is, and I know it's not one that you can answer, and I don't even know to what extent. One of the stories when Biff Poggi left, and if you remember, originally he left for the University of Michigan, he joined Jim Harbaugh's staff briefly while his son was playing at Michigan.
Yes. Now he's at St. Francis.
Right. Now he's back as a co-head coach at St. Francis. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions then was the emphasis that Gilman was putting on football.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not something that we can answer, but I think that for a new head coach, that's going to be a part of the story is how much are they emphasizing football? Because I do think that'll have a lot to do with what he's capable of doing, particularly knowing you're going to be going up against St. Francis. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear how much they're emphasizing football.
Yes, very much so. And not just St. Francis, Calvert Hall, McDonough. I mean, you're walking into a really tough conference here. But Bach, you know, they're bringing him in from Georgia. They must think really highly
of him. Yeah, sure.
You know, it's for me, I think it's going to be a very interesting to see how that goes and plays out. And obviously, Gilman's always a team to watch. But I think even more so this year, we'll be keeping an eye on it. And also, it should be noted, this wasn't just the only big coaching announcement in the MIAA. Gene Ubriaco, it was announced, the longtime assistant coach at Boys Latin, is now the new Loyola men's head coach. The boys from lacrosse. Yes, that was just announced a couple days ago.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, that was slick. Gauntlet in there. So that's going to be another thing to keep an eye on as well. And that's but of course he's not going to be taking over until 2019. So that is something. So he's going to
Like an Eric DaCosta, Ozzie Newsome situation.
Yeah, Ozzie Newsome type thing there. So he's going to be taking over in 2019. But Ben Rubior, the head coach at Loyola,
who's a hell of a player.
Yes, great player. Announced back in I think it was October or November that this would be his final year coaching. So Loyola has finished their coaching search now, and they're going to be going to Boys Latin, a longtime assistant coach.
It's one of these wild things that you would never know. Gene Ubiaco's father actually played in the NHL.
Really?
And played for the former Baltimore Clippers of the AHL when that was a minor league team in Baltimore.
Impressive. Gene
Ubiaco. It's a very famous name. It's a very well-known family. I had no idea. That's kind of cool.
Impressive bit of knowledge there. I'll admit you had me beat there.
All right. Let's talk about one other thing before we wrap up this segment. Always enjoy a good story. And Wick at countysportszone.com in the Wikipedia blog, you have profiled the Pikesville girls basketball team. Tell me about them.
Yeah, I mean, that was a team that they jumped out to me when I was looking around for a story to write, because Pikesville is not normally known for girls basketball, but they're having a tremendous year. They're 13-1, and they have not lost in Baltimore County play. And so there's a couple factors that have played into this resurgence, the first of which, addition of a new head coach, Michael Dukes, who's doing a great job there, obviously, with the Panthers. But the second of which, for Dukes, in Duke's opinion, is that they were able to get an influx of new talent. You know, in his words, he said, some talented freshmen, a couple sophomores who've left private schools, and we also got a senior point guard whose family relocated to Pikesville from New Jersey. He just said, from a talent standpoint, it's just been a perfect storm for him as a first-year head coach. And they have some, like, you know, the players are really performing, and that's been the key to it. But Tyra Robinson, averaging 16 points per game. Chiria Roberts has also been sensational, 15 points and 12 rebounds per game. And she, Roberts, is getting some assistance down low from Taylor Saunders, who's chipping in 8 points and 8 rebounds per game. And then that senior point guard that they talked about, Kayla Jackson, he said, has been doing a really good job of leading this group, this bunch, who is a pretty young group, which shows that Pikesville should be able to stick around for a few years as a program to watch. But she has 10 points and 3 steals per game and is sort of the leader of that energetic defense that they like to play. But it's just been a winning formula so far. They're outscoring their opponents by just under 26 points per game. This is a team that last year won 5 games.
Wow.
And so it's just a massive turnaround. It's all happening at once. Their one loss was to St. Vincent Pilati. Remember in the private public school matchup that we profiled a few weeks ago at McDonough? 50-48, and Duke said it was a learning experience. They were playing in front of a massive crowd. I think the players were a little overwhelmed by the moment. He hopes that that was good practice for them come state tournament time, because that is what he is aiming for his group to get to. But, I mean, it hasn't slowed them at all, that loss. These are the teams they've been able to knock off: Milford Mill, Newtown, Hereford. All three of those teams are perennially, you know, competing for state titles. So for me, I think this is a team to keep an eye on. And in Duke's words, he said, we're aiming for a county and 1A championship this year. It might surprise a few people that it's a school like Pikesville is doing that, but they think it's well within their reach.
Awesome. Great stuff. All right. When we come back in, we are going to chat about this amazing story of a girls wrestling tournament now happening here in Maryland, as we will chat with Chris Dyke, the head coach of the girls. Is it just the wrestling team?
Just the wrestling team at
Northeast in Anne Arundel County. That's next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, right here on the Maryland News Network.
I'm Tiffany Haddish, and I use Groupon so much they made me the spokesperson. A lot of guys ask me if it's cool to use Groupon for Valentine's Day. So here's the deal. If I catch my Valentine using a Groupon for something like a couples massage, fondue, or an escape room, he better get used to me, because I'm going to be around a while. Trust me, the ultimate aphrodisiac is a man that knows the value of a dollar. Men, if you're out there, download the app and save. Groupon.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, what are you doing up here on the roof?
I want to tell the world I just met the woman of my dreams. What about you?
I want to tell the world that Liberty Mutual saved me $782.
Liberty did what?
They saved me $782.
Oh, you go first then. $782 really puts finding love into perspective.
Visit us online to get a quote, and you could save $782. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
All money managers may seem pretty much the same. But while some money managers may recommend high commission investment products, Fisher Investments avoids them. Some money managers may have hidden and layered fees. Fisher Investments never does. And while some money managers are happy to earn commissions from you, whether you do well or not, Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when you do better. In other words, we're structured to be on your side. Maybe that's why most of our clients come to us from other money managers. Talk with us and find out why so many experienced investors are switching to and staying with Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments, clearly better money management. Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Visit us at fisherinvestments.com to find out what we can do for you.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back into High School Sports Line. Glenn and Wick with you here on the Maryland News Network. Wick, we talk a lot about very different sports here on this show. It's one of the things we pride ourselves in. I know one thing you and I have never talked about. We have never talked about an all-girls wrestling tournament.
Yes, we have
before
not.
Right now. Mm-hmm. As joining us here on High School Sports Line is the wrestling coach who is kind of responsible in part for this happening. He's the wrestling coach at Northeast in Anne Arundel County. He's Coach Chris Dyke, and he joins us here on High School Sports Line. Coach, it's Glenn and Wick. It's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time for us this week.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me. It was a good event.
So when I heard about this, I said, "Wow, this is awesome. This is so cool, and we need to talk about this because this is the first time we've ever had anything like this." Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about how it is that this event from this past weekend came about that we now have all girls wrestling tournaments here in the state of Maryland?
It sort of came up last year towards the end of the regular state tournament. Andy Warner is the president of MPSSAA, was talking about the idea, and then myself and Chad Vosberg, the coaches run apart with Brian Lehman, just said, "Hey, we'll do it. Let's see what we can make happen and move forward from there." Mm-hmm.
And for you, I mean, what is the current state of girls wrestling, in high schools in Maryland? I know you had a couple girls competing on your roster that competed. We'll get to them in a minute here. But is it fairly common now, do you think, for teams to have, one or two girls on their roster?
Definitely. The growth is, it is growing as far as female participation in wrestling. You've seen an improvement. The biggest thing is you always see, not necessarily always, but mostly you'll see one or two girls on a team. The numbers for the Maryland national team have gone up each year.
Wow.
So there's more girls wrestling year round now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's helping fuel the regular high school season.
And I guess,
when it's at the junior league level too.
Mm-hmm. And I guess talk to us a little bit about, that day itself. It was this past Saturday, I believe. How many girls came out to Northeast for this event? As the co-director there with Coach Vosberg, what were you feeling? How proud were you to just oversee this event individually as yourself?
It was a great event. Being able to host, the first event, we're not the first state to host it. So, we want to catch up to the other states that have it. We had 78 participants. We had 84 register. The coaches had to register their participants about a month ahead of time. Mm-hmm. We had 84 register. So we had 6 scratches. We ended up with 78 participants. We broke them up into 16 pools by weight. So each girl either wrestled 4 or 3 matches in each pool.
Wow.
And another big number, going back and we look at results and we look at, where else do we need to improve is out of the 78 that competed, there was only 14 seniors.
Oh, wow. So, that's awesome. It's going to be growing, you think?
Yes.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, and this is, it's just such a cool thing. He's Coach Chris Dyke. He's with us here on High School Sports Line from Northeast in Anne Arundel County. We're talking about this first ever Maryland High School Girls Wrestling Tournament. Coach, I'm going to ask a question, and I got to preface this by saying I'm a dumb guy, all right? So I don't know as much about this topic as I'm sure is out there. But when I ask this, is part of the goal that we want to see girls wrestling girls more in general in the state? I think we've heard about situations where boys will take forfeits, things along those lines in the past. Have we gotten to a point where boys and girls are more comfortable wrestling against each other? Or is it important for there to be more all-girls competitions? I don't know if evening the playing field is the right term that I'm looking for, and somebody's probably screaming at me that I'm not using the right language here, but I think you understand what it is that I'm trying to ask.
Right, and it's not – I wouldn't say it's uncommon right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's they are growing more comfortable with wrestling each other. Obviously, I think it's a harder adjustment from the girl standpoint. When you're looking at – a 106 pounder or a 113 pounder, mm-hmm. those girls usually compete more. But when you start getting higher up in weight classes, there is a difference as far as like physicality. Mm-hmm. But there's still trying to think of an example. I know Hawaii and Texas, mm-hmm. they have state laws saying the women can't wrestle a man mm-hmm. in high school sports. I know in PA, the archdiocese, the private schools, female wrestlers cannot wrestle against male students. So we don't have that problem. I don't think it's an issue. I think it's something that has grown over the last couple of years. I've started three women in my varsity lineup, so it's not. And they've always wrestled.
Mm-hmm. And I know one thing that was really cool about the event this past week. I believe you guys had Monica. I want to make sure I get this right. Monica Hovermail come out from Smithsburg. She's a pretty big figure. Tell us a little bit about her and what did she say to your wrestlers that was just so how did she try to motivate the wrestlers that were out there?
She did a great job. She ran a clinic. She was the first Maryland women's wrestler to have over 100 career victories.
This is awesome.
She coaches at Smithsburg High School now.
Mm-hmm.
But she came out. She did a clinic. She pulled all the girls together in a group. She talked to them. It was a real motivating, from her standpoint, motivating the girls to keep going. There was a lot of talk about recruitment, how to, continue to build participation.
And looking at this, we just talked about, growing participation. What for you needs to happen in order to get this to grow a little bit more, to get more girls wrestling? What are some, keys to getting even more girls involved with the sport?
The biggest key is the girls that are currently wrestling. They're the greatest ambassador of, hey, let's come out and do this. There's more. It's more than just what you hear. Come out and try it. Exposure. Not every state hosts an event like this. Right now, there's only 8 states that actually have a sanctioned women's state championship.
Oh, wow.
Florida hosted one this past weekend. They're in their second year. They had 290 girls participate. So it's definitely building. But definitely the more people see it, the more people hear about it is definitely the biggest key.
Coach, I got to know Helen Maroulis a little bit in the last couple of years, who attended Magruder before she moved out of state and then went on to win a gold medal, obviously, the most recent Olympics. She was a darling because she's just so well-spoken, and she was sort of a little bit of a celebrity for a couple months. How much did she – And how much is it seeing girls like her winning and succeeding, Americans winning gold medals and wrestling at the Olympics? How much have you noticed the interest in wrestling growing among girls thanks to people like Helen Maroulis?
Helen is the ambassador for women's wrestling, I think. Our girls see that, and then they, definitely being that our national team girls, they practice with Helen over the summer. She comes in and does a clinic with them. So it's definitely having that is a huge, huge boost. Now that she's having success, like this weekend, she was in Japan wrestling. She wrestles and she's wrestling all around the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And our girls are seeing that and seeing that there is options after high school athletics mm-hmm. that, it's building.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, like you said, you had a couple girls wrestling this past week. I know a couple of them even placed second in it, but Lacey Schmidt was able to win her classification at 125. I guess tell us a little bit about Lacey and why was she able to find success this past weekend on the mat?
Lacey is a freshman. She came in as a freshman. She comes from a wrestling family, so she's been around it. She's never actually competed, but you know the thing about Lacey is she doesn't stop. She's not afraid of contact. She'll go after somebody. She doesn't sit back on her heels. So I think that's a big thing of being comfortable in a wrestling match.
Coach Chris Dyke from Northeast in Anne Arundel County. Coach, this is awesome. Can't wait to see where this heads next. I know you're not only worried about girls wrestling. I know you got other things that are on your plate, but I know that this is a really cool step and an amazing moment for an amount of athletes in this state. Congratulations on the first one, and looking forward to seeing what's ahead. Thank you so much for taking some time for us this week on High School Sports Line.
No problem. Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. When we come back in, we're going to chat a little bit about girls basketball. That's next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, right here on the Maryland News Network.
I'm Jill Powell. Each day, I'll bring you the latest from the floor of the Maryland General Assembly. I'll speak with the newsmakers and feature the sound that is shaping the future of Maryland. Be sure to catch the Maryland Capitol Report anytime at MarylandNewsNetwork.net.
DirecTV Now presents Don't Be Frustrated with Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, oh. Hey, man.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Oh, what are you doing?
I'm just banging my head against the wall over and over again.
Ooh. Why?
Because I've got cable, and it's so frustrating. Ooh. I had to wait hours for the cable guy. Now I have this big, ugly cable box.
You know you should just get DirecTV Now.
Okay.
It's live TV you can stream on any screen. Ooh. No cable guy, no cable box.
Really? That's amazing. Now I won't have to bang my head against the wall anymore.
Nope. Ooh. Now you can watch on your phone, tablet, or TV while you bang your head against something softer, like this pillow.
Hmm.
The squeaky toy.
Oh.
This loaf of bread. This bicycle horn.
Fun.
This whoopee cushion. This potato. Who doesn't love mashed potatoes?
Try DirecTV Now for $10 a month for 3 months. No satellite needed.
Use code YESNOW3 at DirecTVNOW.com. Limited time. Compatible device required and sold separately. Price after instant discount on $35 a month package. Renews monthly at full price unless canceled. Prices may change. New subscribers only. Cancel anytime. Restrictions apply. Details at DirecTVNOW.com.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, Esther, Liberty Mutual just saved me $782 on insurance.
Liberty did what?
I know. It's a lot of money, right?
What'd you say?
Liberty Mutual saved me $782.
Visit us online to get a quote.
What?
I said visit us online to get a quote, and you can save $782. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Are you still talking?
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. Wick, this is the game, right?
The game.
Every year. It's a girls basketball game that's played and more recently played at CQ Arena at Towson, but played between two programs that have been getting together for a long time, IND and Mercy.
Yes.
And this year, IND once again came out on top. They've got a nice little streak going in the game as IND got the 39-30 victory. Joining us now, he is the head coach of the Penguins. He's Coach Robert Dubose. Coach, it's Glenn and Wick. It's so good to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time, and congratulations on another win in the game.
I appreciate it, and it's always a pleasure joining you guys.
Well, Coach, can you just take people through, before we get into your team and this year and the whole thing, for people that hear us say the word the game and have no idea what that means and have never seen the spectacle that is your two programs going up against each other, can you try to describe what this rivalry is like and why it is truly one of the most special things in all of local sports?
Well, I would say this. In the high school game, boys and girls, I know on the East Coast, there's no game like it. We normally sell out the college arena that we're in. And for the last few years, we've been playing in Towson CQ Arena, which holds probably 4,000 to 5,000 people. And we always seem like we're filling it up to the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an atmosphere that's unlike no other. If you can think of the Cameron Crazy down in Duke, you can imagine they would be similar to what Mercy Magic does. They really come out and try to cause a disruption in the game because the fans, the festivities. I mean, it's 52 years of a rivalry amongst women, and it's a Catholic league. So you can just imagine two ladies going at each other. and atmosphere behind it with the crowd yelling and everything else. It always is a great atmosphere.
What was? Can you take me back to your first taste of the rivalry and just how it lived up? Like, I remember when I, because I'm from Baltimore and I've been here my entire life, and I remember when I first started doing this, I would hear people talking about it, and I'm like, okay, I'm sure it's neat. And then I got over and experienced it. Holy crap. Like, this is unbelievable. Can you take me back to your first time and your first taste and how it sort of lived up to what you were expecting?
Well, a lot of people may not notice, but I was nervous. I ended up taking a break, and I was assistant coach at the time. I ended up taking a break myself in the first quarter trying to get my thoughts together. It was so overwhelming. And here I am as a grown man, as an assistant coach at the time, and it was like, okay, wow. So I could imagine what the girls went through. Just walking out, hearing the girls screaming, the fans screaming. I mean, you know, you have fans from the 60s coming in, still coming back here, yelling and screaming, wearing their blue or red. Like I said, as me as an adult, I was overwhelmed. It was a lot.
Yeah, it's obviously just a great tradition, but I want to talk about your current crop of players. I mean, you can talk about history and everything like that, but for your players, is this the biggest game of the year for them, or are there other games that I know stand out for you guys on your schedule?
Well, every year, the Mercy IND game is one of our major goals, but our number one goal every year is to try to win the championship. Mm-hmm. And that's been our goal for the last four years since I've taken over the program. But this is by far one of the largest games these girls are probably ever playing until they go to college, or some go on to college. And even seniors like Jalen Armstrong and Madison DeBose, that's been around for 4 years, they will tell you last year that as juniors, they were tight. They didn't get loose until maybe the third quarter. In the same way this year, the first quarter, we were down 9-7 until quarter ended, set them down, and I just told them to take 3 or 4 deep breaths. Close your eyes and take 3 or 4 deep breaths and try to get everything in order. Mm-hmm. And once it did that, it not only did it help settle down the seniors, it also helped settle down some of the sophomores that we have. We have a couple of outstanding sophomores on our team that actually play well during a game. So I'm hoping that carries over for the next 2 years for us.
And we're talking to Robert DuBose here, the IND head coach here on High School Sportsline. Now, you already mentioned Jalen Armstrong. I know she led the way for you guys this year with 9 points per game, and she was actually the top scorer last year with 19. Tell us a little bit about Jalen. I know she's been your go-to player here for a while, but, you know, these big environments, she doesn't seem to shy away from it. What's been so key to her doing well in these big contests?
Jay is one of the players. She is – actions speak louder than words for her. She comes in and performs. And she's, once she gets her nerves under control, Jay would just go out and compete. There's nothing, you know, she's just cut and dry. No fluff. She just, you know, she's not afraid of contact. Just being in the moment, she embraces it once she's settled. And that's, you know, I think that's going to carry on for college for her. She's going to LIU Post. Mm-hmm. Next year for Division II scholarship, and I think she's really going to excel at that level also. Mm-hmm. Because she's, like I said, she's a sweet young lady, and once everything settles down, Jay just can see.
Mm-hmm. And you had 5 other players that were able to score at least 6 points. So I know Jalen's been sort of your go-to player, but it looks like there's a good, you know, crop of, you know, I guess depth is the right word I'm looking for, that it's not just a one player show here for you. Has that been something throughout the year, you know, having multiple threats so they can't just key in on Jalen?
Well, actually, Jalen, after our second game of the season, Jalen went down for 30 days. She got hurt against McDonough, and she had to go get some things cleaned up, which really wasn't a major injury. She had to get some things cleaned up. So it required her to rest for a little bit. And that allows a couple of our sophomores, Grace Taylor and Karis Ferguson, to actually step up, along with the seniors that we have and the junior that we have, LaShara Williams, one of our outstanding juniors. And during that time, everybody rolled. They had to add a little more. They had to add a little more to their game, which helped out in the long run, because now you can't key in on her. We have one of our now top players, Anaya Russell, a 5'11 point guard, sophomore. She actually carried a scoring load even with Jalen back. Mm-hmm. She exploded for 37 against Mount Carmel on Wednesday night. She got a little foul trouble Friday, and, you know, it proved to the rest of the team that we can win without her. But knowing that a point guard, that when she walks in the gym, she's getting 25 points, 6 or 7 assists, and probably 5 or 6 rebounds. You know, you kind of missed that during the game, but it showed that, you know, even without her, we can push forward. Our other captain, Madison DeBose, probably had 11 or 12 rebounds in the Mercy game, and she finished with 6 points. She's one of our anchors on defense. She has been since she became a starter as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So as a whole, with her and Shira playing a 4 or 5, I'm very confident that we know we can hold our own with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, for anybody who was listening to this segment from the beginning, they know you're Robert DuBose, and you've mentioned now Madison DuBose a couple of times. How cool is it to get to be able to coach your daughter in this game, just in the game in this massive environment? You get to watch her going out there and performing. Are you able to separate the coach from the parent there, or is there still a little bit of parent that seeps in?
Only thing as a parent that parent comes out when I'm coaching is my thought is you better play hard. I don't care if you're missing shots. I don't care if you're doing some other stuff, but your effort, you're always got to give 110% in anything you do. Mm-hmm. So long as you're doing that, the parent part goes away, and I'm a coacher the way I coach everybody else. And never had no issue with that. Actually, I made a point of that 2 years ago when I coached AAU. I still coach AAU, but I don't coach that age group because I want to give us a break from each other during the spring and summer. And it worked out well because during the spring and summer, not only did she play AAU for our organization Power Move, she also ran track, club track and track for IMB. She's also going to LIU coach on a basketball and track scholarship with Dylan Armstrong.
Oh, wow. Well, that program must absolutely love you. But, looking ahead here, like you said, your goal is to, every year, I know IND, their goal is to try to win a league championship. The B conference is what you guys are in. And what's going to be a couple keys to you guys being able to get to that point? I know St. John's has been the team that's sort of been the group to top there. What's going to be key for you guys?
Yeah. Staying sound on defense, hanging our head on defense, staying focused on offense, just really making sure that as a team, we're playing as a unit. Things are coming together. We just got to keep communicating with each other. And that's where offense ends. You definitely need communication on defense. But even on offense, when we call them plays, when we get people in the right place, we just need to be efficient with everything that we do. And I think that'll carry us through being efficient and aggressive. I ain't gonna say really aggressive on defense, but we just gotta be tough as a unit on defense.
Coach, congratulations on another win in the game. Best of luck moving forward this season. And thank you so much for taking the time for us here in High School Sports.
Can I shout out my 5 seniors?
Do it. Sure, do it.
We already said Madison DeBose and Jalen Armstrong. I also have 3 other seniors, Brittany Isoponwu, and Eve Ammon, and also Megan Weatherly, who will be going to school on an athletic scholarship for lacrosse.
Awesome. Great stuff. All right, when we come back in, we're going to preview what's ahead this week. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, right here on the Maryland News Network.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Guys, get to JCPenney and show her some love. Now through Valentine's Day, find gifts she'll love like select fine and fashion jewelry up to 70% off after an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. Or for rewards members, get 1/10 carat total weight diamond studs or pendant for just $25 each while supplies last. Hurry in and find the gifts that will make her Valentine's Day. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 2H214. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Sephora excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply.
Offers represent savings on regular original prices while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
There's a way to give her a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day.
And a way to give her a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day.
Turn it up this Valentine's Day with Levion Chocolate Diamond Jewelry from Jared. You'll find more exclusive Levion pieces at Jared than any other jewelry store in the world. And when you visit Jared.com from February 1st through the 14th, you'll receive $100 off any Levion purchase. That's our Valentine's gift to you.
And that's why he went to Jared.
Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
The Sports Talk continues with High School Sports Live on the Maryland News Network.
Final segment of High School Sports Line. Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. All right, Wick, we've covered everything that has happened or is, you know, happening currently. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about what's going to happen.
Okay.
As we do at the end of every show, let's look ahead to what is coming up. And how about we start, I want to actually start because we talked about bocce for the first time last week. So I want to talk about that again because I think it's really, really neat. Tell me about what's happening in Montgomery County.
Yeah, so they had the divisional championships this past weekend, and that was won by Wheaton at the division at the one level. Sherwood won D2, Whitman won D3, and Northwest won D4. So what's going to happen this weekend is that those four teams, Wheaton, Sherwood, Whitman, and Northwest, are all going to meet up and see who the county champion is. And what's really cool, I mean, we talked about this, it's allied bocce.
Right.
So it's a lot of the people.
Special needs.
Some of the students who compete are special needs. And it's just really awesome. I'll tell you, we talked a little bit about the Larry Aaron thing earlier with everything going on social media. I was all over Twitter on Saturday as I was having to, you know, post scores and find scores online and things like that. But this was all the pictures and the videos that were going on. This is a seriously cool event that they do. And I can't wait to see who comes out on top. And it's Wheaton who's going to be defending their crown championship. So we'll see if they're going to be able to win it a second straight year. But that's definitely something I know I am going to be keeping an eye on.
That's really cool. That's a very, very cool thing and something that deserves a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to wrestling. Big state tournament coming up this weekend.
Yeah, the dual meet state finals. We're in playoff season now. So we're coming up to that time of the year where we're going to be having regionals and everything like that. But the first thing on the docket this year, dual meet state finals, and we will see who qualifies for it. They're going to be doing that this week. But what's really cool for me this year for the dual meet state finals is they've actually expanded the field. Before this year, they had combined 1A and 2A. And into one bracket, and then all the 3A and 4A schools competed for one championship as well. So there were only two state champions. That has changed. It's now all each classification will have a state champion. So there'll be a 1A, a 2A, a 3A, and a 4A title champion. And what's also pretty interesting is that the two teams that have essentially dominated this tournament the last few years, Damascus and Middletown, are actually both competing at the 2A level. So we're going to have a guaranteed three new state champions this year.
All right.
I think it's going to be a really, really cool event. And obviously, dual meet, for those of you who don't know about it, is team scores. You know, you're not going to have an individual state champion decided here. What it's going to be is it's all about points and things like that, and two teams square off. And so it'll be the semifinals start at noon for the 2A and the 1A competition. And then they'll have their finals at 4 p.m. And then the 3A and 4A will compete at 2 p.m. and then have their finals at 6:30 p.m. And it's all happening at North Point High School in Charles County. This is just a great event. Dave Dotson is the chair of the tournament. He does an excellent job every year, and it's one of my favorite events every year. I think this is going to be a great one this year. Once again, I'm really excited. Maybe next week we'll have one of the coaches on to talk about it, you know, winning a state title for dual meet. I think it's going to be really cool. It's a part of wrestling that I feel like doesn't get as much attention as the individual state titles do, but I think it's going to be really exciting this year and definitely something to watch.
Awesome. Awesome. Very good stuff. All right. Let's get into basketball. Just a couple of games we're going to highlight for this week. Why don't we do the girls' side and Montgomery County? Let's go to MoCo, where Gaithersburg is taking on Poolsville.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the game to watch in MoCo this week. Poolsville has been sensational this year. They're undefeated. They're 19-0, and they're yet to win it. Have been forced to win a game by single digits. They've all been double digit wins here. And one part of the big part of this team's success, its size. Poolsville has four players on its roster that are listed at 6 feet or taller. And three of the top scorers – of their top scorers are over 6 feet. So their key players, they're very big, they're very tall, and their key players are also big and tall. Erin Green leads the way. She's 6 foot three with a 13.7 point per game average. Kelly Ann Lee is at 6 foot, and she's averaging 11.2 points per game. It's just a really tough bunch to compete with. They control the boards. Nobody's been able to slow them down yet, but Gaithersburg, I think, is going to have a shot in this game. They're 13-6 right now. They're having a strong year. Adrian McDaniel, who we had on at the beginning of the year, predicted that his team would be good this year, and they've definitely – that's come to fruition. The team has played particularly well lately. They've won four of their last five contests, with the only loss in that span coming against Richard Montgomery, who joins Poolsville as the only undefeated team. So it's a tough little stretch here for them. But Gaithersburg's been doing a good job. I do think they could use a marquee win, though. They've dropped contests to Richard Montgomery, Clarksburg, Bethesda Chevy Chase. These are a couple of the top teams in Montgomery County. So for me, a win here would be massive for Gaithersburg. It would be a bit of an upset as well, but they're going to be leaning heavily on Jordan Odom, who leads the way with 20.8 points per game.
All right, very good. That game coming up Friday at 5:30 at Poolsville. And on the boys' side, we go to Harford County, where Harford Tech is taking on C. Milton Wright.
Yeah, these are two teams that I think are serious contenders to possibly win state championships here. They're in different classifications, so they won't be competing against each other. But this is a really interesting rematch here. C. Milton and Wright won the first game pretty handily, 70-53. And a key to that was the play of Imran Hussein, the senior guard who is their go-to player. He averages 19.1 points per game. He's a dynamic scorer. He's hit the 30-point mark three times this year, and he absolutely torched Harford Tech in their first matchup. He had 25 points. And Quincy Houghton has also been a key piece for them, averaging just under 10 points per game. I mean, it's really going to be interesting if Harford Tech is going to be able to stick with Hussein here. They were unable to do it the first go around. But, you know, Harford Tech, I do think that this is a team that has a shot here to flip it and maybe be able to get a little redemption here. They have three different players who've been doing really well for them. Jordan Bright leads the way with 14 points per game. Anthony Effiacho is at 13.1.
Say that 10 times fast.
Please do not make me. And then Jalen Dangerfield, who's actually the younger brother of Darius Dangerfield, who was an all-state selection for them last year, who has since graduated. Jalen Dangerfield is having a great start to the year as well, 10.5 points per game. They're known for their up-tempo brand of basketball. They're going to try to push it and just run everybody out of the gym. And C. Milton Wright was able to handle it the first time. Will they be able to do it the second time? And also, will Harford Tech be able to stick with Hussein?
Oh, that's what we're going to find out Friday, 6:45 at C. Milton Wright. All right, Wick Eisenberg, great work from you as always. Appreciate it. Thanks to Steve Clendenin, the man behind everything at the Maryland News Network. For the crew, I am Glenn Clark. You can listen to this show anytime by downloading our podcast. Go to MarylandNewsNetwork.net and click Audio On Demand. This has been High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, right here on the Maryland News Network.